Hi, this is Kim King, and I have Heather Featherston with me as well. We're here to answer some frequently asked questions about Adoption for Life. This will be a pretty fast-paced webinar. We have several questions to go through, and if you need anyone to help you with additional follow-up questions, you want us to elaborate a little more, just talk with your coordinator, and she'll be happy to assist you with that. So Heather, let's go ahead and get started.
Great.
So first question, will someone be reviewing our website?
Yes, in Adoption for Life, one of the things that one of our online learning lessons is creating your profile, which you can do hard copy or you can do online and build a website or you can do both. Some people, we have lots of tips and tricks if you've never built a website. In fact, some people have an online presence without building a website. That's one of the neat things we show you. And yes, your coordinator will be reviewing it. She'll be reviewing what you have up there. She'll have suggestions on how you can make it stronger, how you can make it kind of answer some of the questions birth mothers are asking before they ask them, if that makes sense. You want it to really appeal to today's birth mother. And that's one of the advantages of Adoption for Life is it is very in tune with today's women and what they're seeking. So absolutely, we review your profile, be it hard copy, online, or both.
Mm-hmm. And will, if I'm in Adoption for Life, will I have access to the birth mom listing?
I'm not exactly sure what birth mom listing you're referring to, but usually in Adoption for Life, you don't really have access to any organization's list of birth mothers, be they from Lifetime or other organizations. Usually those are for programs like with Lifetime, our Bronze program. Those are families who are working with us and we're presenting them to the birth mothers that we're working with. Adoption for Life is really more of a program geared toward completing a private adoption, which is where you make direct connection, or really what usually happens is a woman makes direct connection with you to be the parents of her child. So yeah. That's what it's geared towards. It's not going and looking at sites where they're listing birth moms and picking a few out. That's not how any adoption really works today. But that's one of the, if that's something you're looking for, we do have links on there to some of the children who may be available, waiting children through the foster system nationwide, which some families, after they get started, they decide, you know what, that's really what we want, is we want to see if there's waiting older children, and we show you how to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we know that most adoptive parents who are in Adoption for Life are seeking a newborn, an infant,
yes,
a younger child. So mm-hmm. that's this program, Adoption for Life, is a great fit for those types of adoptions, but can also give you the guidance if you were looking more for an older waiting child in the foster system.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be listed on lifetimeadoption.com?
Families in our Adoption for Life program are not listed on lifetimeadoption.com. We do show you different places to list your site if you build it, or you use one of the other sites that we encourage you to look at, which I'll just say right now, it's not Parent Profiles or Adoptimist or anything like that. We can show you how to really build a page where the people are, where to be found, and that's
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we do. So we share with you ideas on how to get kind of your website out there, but it's not listed on lifetimeadoption.com because Adoption for Life is geared toward really getting that private adoption, meaning a direct connection, which is what most families really want. Even the ones that are working with agencies, they're looking for that direct connection, that private adoption.
Yes. And while if you are new to adoption and you're asking advice from other adoptive parents, while there may have been advice that worked for them in their adoption, that might have been a year, 2 years, 3, 5 years ago or more. And some of the advice it's outdated now.
It is.
Some of those places where a lot of adoptive parents say, oh, you should go here and you should post your website there, it's become so oversaturated.
Yes.
So we share with you the most current, up-to-date advice so that you can be effective with the steps mm-hmm. that you're taking. The time you're putting in will be effective for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another question, we kind of touched on this before in our initial audio program for adoptive parents. Will we be networking with other agencies?
You know, I would encourage you that no, you don't need to. You may want to leave one of your profiles that we've helped you with at the office of your home study provider, because sometimes home study providers do have a occasional situation, but usually not. Usually, again, you're looking for that private adoption. The best way to think of a private adoption is if, you know, think of your best friend, if she had a niece who was pregnant and your best friend knew you were looking to adopt, she might kind of connect you together. That's a private adoption, and that's what Adoption for Life helps you do. And it's a lot of people think, well, I don't know anybody pregnant. You don't have to. That's how the private adoption works. It does have an aspect of networking or advertising or however you feel comfortable. And we show you a lot of different methods and techniques in that. But most families, Kim, to answer your questions, no, won't be networking with other agencies, because That's one of the benefits of Adoption for Life is you have more control. And often if you're locked in an agency program, you don't have that control. And this really gives you that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we can talk with you about some of the risks that are involved with networking with other agencies. We can share more.
Definitely.
All of our coordinators are very familiar with how that can go for a family, just because we've spoken with so many families who have had those experiences over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to help you be informed and protect yourselves from getting into something that's really not what you had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. I'm over 50. Maybe even over 60, will this program work for me?
This is a program that can work for anyone, provided you can get an approved home study. And in most cases, age is not going to be a factor. If you have a normal life expectancy that your doctor can certify when in that part of the home study. So age is not a factor in this. I will say birth mothers are looking for active parents. Active doesn't mean you ride jet skis and you climb mountains, but it does mean that you are, you know, ready to be a active participate in a baby's life. So, you know, you do, that is something you want to keep in mind when you're doing your profile, is, you know, putting photos and talking about activities you participate in that are more perhaps than reading books and watching TV, because that doesn't necessarily sound like someone who's ready and able to, you know, chase a toddler in the backyard.
Yes. So showing how active and able you are in your profile helps make that connection with a birth mom.
Yes.
The bottom line is you have to be able to get the home study, and they'll evaluate if they have any concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when families are older, like 65, 70 years old, they may approve you for an older child adoption, not so much a newborn, maybe like a 5 or 6 year old perhaps. So they'll gauge it to what your abilities and circumstances are.
Definitely.
Every state is different with requirements, though.
Mm-hmm. That is
We already have a profile and a home study. Will this program, Adoption for Life, will it be beneficial to us?
You know, those are two aspects of Adoption for Life, definitely, is the home study. We really walk you through what it is. We even give you a sample home study so you can see what it is. Sometimes that helps you prepare a little better. And then also with the profile, those are just two aspects of the program. If you have a home study and a profile, I would be curious to know why you haven't adopted, and probably it is the most important aspect of Adoption for Life, which is getting yourself in front of women looking for adoption. That's really one of the keys that Adoption for Life shares, is what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and a lot of different ways you are able to do it. So yes, Adoption for Life, definitely, that's really the focus, is helping you connect with that private adoption. If you already have a home study, you can probably skip that part of it. Even if you have a profile, I would encourage you not to skip that, because families have told us our profiles are different than what they've seen before. And that's because our recipe has to do with what it's based on, what birth mothers are looking for. And like I said a minute ago, it's based on answering those questions before they ask them. So A great place to start is by sending the profile you already have to your coordinator once you've started the program, and she can give you a good solid review and some tips for improving it. A great example is we had a family who did this. They came in with a home study and a profile. They sent it to us. Their profile was about 25 pages long, and it included it started with each of the parents with newborn pictures of them. And so, you know, we really helped them tailor it toward what a birth mother is seeking, which is not a 20 to 25 page profile, and it doesn't have baby pictures of you in it. So we really were able to kind of show them, okay, this is what people are looking for, not necessarily. And you know, they moved forward and adopted because they were able to get the right message. And that's really where we help you with the profile is get that right message.
Similar to that question, if a family has already adopted before, mm-hmm. will adoption for life be valuable and helpful to them?
Yes, definitely. Now, if they've done their own private adoption where they found their own birth mother and did everything that way in the past, they may not feel like they need it. But if they didn't, say their previous adoption was from a relative or from a family friend, and they want to adopt again, they may think, well, I don't have any more family friends who are pregnant. So definitely this will be a help because it gives you that very important piece of how to get your information in front of women who are considering adoption.
And from there, the screening and support to walk you through the next steps. Even if you have adopted before, every adoption is unique. That birth mom is going to be unique, and it can be difficult for families to be so emotionally close to a birth mom and still maintain that wisdom and insight so that they don't fall into pitfalls and so that they can maintain healthy boundaries and a healthy foundation in that adoption. And we
Definitely.
Can be that objective person who has your best interest in mind, wants the best for the birth mom as well, but we're not as close.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that emotional connection to this must work for us type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we can be that, you know, I would say play devil's advocate and say, well,
yes.
Have you thought about this? Have you asked her this? And here we see some red flags, whereas if you're the one adopting that baby, it's easy to overlook some common red flags.
Absolutely. And one more thing in that, Kim, is, you know, an important part of the information we give you has to do with adoption fraud and scam. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't even know that exists. But if you're taken advantage of, trust me, you know about it then. But we give you the information so you know what to look for. So hopefully if you encounter anyone who is trying to defraud you, posing as a birth parent or as an adoption professional, you'll have that information ahead of time so you won't lose time or money.
And there are women who are frauds and, you know, running scams, even though the family they've chosen is through a personal connection. Just
yes.
because you know her through a personal or professional connection does not mean she's legitimate and has the best of intentions.
Yes, absolutely. That's very true.
If someone's not open to special needs or not really seeking a newborn, mm-hmm. will they be able to find a healthy child for adoption?
You know what? That's one of the neat things about Adoption for Life is really it is tailored to what you're seeking. We start out at the beginning talking about your preferences because the child that you want will affect your efforts. You know, if you're not looking for a newborn, if you don't want a newborn, then, you know, you don't want to necessarily be providing information, say, to obstetricians who are delivering babies. That would be a waste of time. So, you know, we really help you drill down what it is you're looking for, not too specific, but specific enough so that you're not going to say no, and then help give you the information to find a situation based on what you want.
And in private adoption, special needs are not as common. You'd
Correct.
See more in special needs adoptions if you're doing international or foster adoption.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So,
in fact, Kim, let me add one thing real quick in there. You don't often find healthy young children through the foster system. But when you're doing private adoption and you're looking for a young child, or you're open to considering, maybe you're open to a newborn, but you're also open to say up to 3 years old. Who you're looking for is the woman who is parenting a young child. Usually those children are currently living with their mother or their grandparents, and so they have not ever spent time in a foster home. So that's kind of one of the differences with private adoptions, private placements too, is that these are children who've never been in the system.
Yes, and these are women who, the basic characteristic, and I'll generalize here, these are women who have made sure that their child is taken care of.
Yes.
And with that same heart, she's making an adoption plan, that maybe something of her circumstances has changed, and it's the straw that broke the camel's back. She's not able to make it anymore, or she's not able to provide what she wants that child to have long term. The more she's parenting, the more she sees of what she wants that child to have, and stability and a regular family life, more of the things that you might be able to offer. And so that's what perhaps is bringing her to adoption.
Yes.
Let's see. I am not on, okay, here's a question. I'm not on social media and I'm not tech savvy. Will I be able to use the online outreach?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, one of the things we have in the online lessons, each online lesson has webinars, which have some of them have video with them. And we have some that literally walk you through step by step what to do. So even if you're not tech savvy, even if you're not on social media, yes, you can be able to do the online outreach. And one thing about that, Kim, I just want to remind everyone that Adoption for Life includes two webinars a month. One is with a guest or an adoptive parent or someone like that. The other one is always an open Q&A that is specifically for Adoption for Life families. So you can bring your questions and we can answer them there. And if, you know, if you say, hey, I can't figure out how to do this, we can turn the video on and walk you through it. You also, because you have a dedicated coordinator, you can send her questions, and she, if she doesn't know, she'll track down the answers for you. That's her job.
Yes. You'll never reach a point with Adoption for Life where you're just stuck and on your own, and there's, put it this way, there's always someone who wants to help you. That's what we are here for. And another thing is, if you're worried about the technical part of being online and doing a profile, just give yourself a little pat on the back, because you've made it this far in the exploration. You obviously have the basic skills that would be needed, because you were able to get through the application process up to this point. And you're here on the webinars. You're able to, you know, follow basic instructions, and you do have a general sense of how the internet works. So I would give yourself a little more credit.
Definitely.
What is the success rate like for Adoption for Life?
The families who are in Adoption for Life, they are being contacted by multiple women considering adoption. And they're able to, I hate to say pick and choose, but pretty much that's what it is. And anytime you're contacted by a woman, part of the information, we give you forms so you can gather the information to keep it straight, because it can be hard to keep it straight when you are not, when you're talking to more than one person. So we really give you a system on how to keep that straight. But if you're contacted by a woman who, let's say, is carrying a baby who's a different race than you're open to, what you can do is you can just pass her information on to your coordinator, and she will contact her on your behalf, and have that sometimes difficult conversation that, you know, is, you know, Joe and Sarah are not, you know, they're actually not available right now, but I'd love to help you, you know, encourage her, show her how she can continue with adoption, even though it isn't going to be with you. So that's one of the things we do for you, is we work with you to go ahead and talk to and kind of encourage the women who may not match what you're looking for, help them continue on their path for adoption. So you, because it can be awkward. It can be awkward to say, you know, you're not exactly what we're looking for. We do that for you.
Right. And Adoption for Life is a program. Okay, so there are steps that one would need to follow to expect the success that other families have had. So for families who are following the program, they can expect success. And by success, I mean an adoption that fits what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What happens if birth moms outside of our preferences contact us? Oh, we just answered that.
We answered that.
We did. Are there supportive services for birth moms not working with an agency?
You know, there are, and that's one of the things that we can help you. If you're talking with someone or you're working with someone who feels like she needs support, ask your coordinator and she can get you some resources or some ideas on where to start. We have a big database of organizations that are local to different communities that sometimes she needs, you know, physical help and where she may be able to get that. Sometimes she needs emotional help and we can provide some referrals to like birth mother support places where they can find some peer support. A lot of states do require families to pay for some counseling. So you may be called upon to do that by your legal professional. So just be aware that those are part of the process. And definitely if you're working with a woman, you feel like she needs support, ask your coordinator. She can get you some referrals.
Can you talk with a birth mom coordinator about a birth mom?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the biggest strengths of Adoption for Life. We have, like I said, we have intake forms where you know, write down the information on each woman you're talking to. And when you feel like, you know what, this is a really good opportunity, we want to pursue this, then we have you go ahead and submit her and we review it with you. We look at all the information you've gathered. We run her through our internal databases that we have that are really for only for adoption professionals to make sure she's not a known scammer. And we, if we think, yeah, this looks great, we'll give you the next steps to take, what to do, and maybe, not maybe, we will give you names of legal professionals who can help you in your state and birth mother's state and help you kind of work out what's needed. And if you feel like, you know, you want to ask a few more questions, of course, we're here. That's one of the things we're here for. By the same token, if you've talked to a woman, gathered some information, and you're thinking, no, this is not anything I want to get involved with, you just pass that on to your coordinator. And like I said a minute ago, we'll go ahead and kind of do the tough conversation with her, but yet help her move on to maybe looking at another family or talking to an attorney if it's, you know, maybe it just sounds like a big legal mess you don't want to get in the middle of. You know, we'll point her in the direction she needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so you're under no obligation just because you've started to interact with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You have no obligations there if at any point it's not the right fit for you.
Right.
Can a family start in Adoption for Life and then move into one of Lifetime's other programs, such as the Bronze Program, once there's an opening?
You know, that's a question I've been asked a few times, and I think you have to think of it as this way. It's not a step up. These are different paths to adoption. And one of the things we talk about in the first online lesson in getting started is picking your path. What way do you want to go? And families who choose Adoption for Life, they really desire an adoption where they have control and they're looking for a private adoption. They are not comfortable turning in their materials and then waiting to be chosen. They want to play a more active role in the process. They want to be able to have, like I say, a little more control over being seen. Adoption for Life families often may adopt faster because that's just the nature of the program. So in terms of can you start AFL and move to the Bronze, if the Bronze is really what you want, then let your coordinator know that, because It doesn't really work that way. You really have to, whatever path to adoption you take, and that includes foster or international, whatever path you take, that's a decision, and you have to continue that path. When you say, oh, I'm going to change now from private adoption to international, it's not just kind of like switching to a different room. You have to go back out of the house and come in a different door. You have to start all over again. So it's important to understand, do I want a private adoption like Adoption for Life? Do I want an agency adoption? Do I want foster? Do I want international? You need to put some thought into the path. Some other families consider Adoption for Life because they have more control over the cost. Some are seeking a very narrow, their preferences are very narrow. Perhaps they're Caucasian girl only. Again, Adoption for Life can be a great success for most any family. There's a lot of different reasons for pursuing a private adoption. And the beauty of Adoption for Life is whatever reason it's the best fit for you, it will work.
Yes, so I think sometimes families are just feeling a little apprehensive because maybe Adoption for Life isn't what they initially were seeking out for their adoption. And I'll tell you, it is a guided step-by-step approach. We are walking you through every step. So if you are going to start your Adoption for Life program, follow the program, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with how the process works for you and how quickly you start hearing from birth moms and how easily you're able to identify a birth mom that you do want to match with and how it is not something to be afraid of at all. Everything is not on your shoulders. After all, that's why you're reaching out to hire an adoption professional, and that's what we're here to help you with. What about after 2 years, if a family hasn't adopted, and we know that Adoption for Life is a 24-month program? Well, I'll tell you, if you've been following the program, you don't really, well, if you've been following the program, but then any of the birth moms that you're working with just don't seem to measure up to
They
what you're
haven't
looking
panned
for,
out. Yeah.
right, it hasn't panned out, so that
We
could
have
cause a delay. Yeah.
a program with which you can consider for a much smaller 6 month fee. You can continue having your coordinator available to you. You can continue the webinars, continue the birth mother screening. You can continue all of the services. That's not a problem. Like I say, we do it in 6 month increments,
Yes.
and so you still have all the help and support. It's not, oh, we got to 2 years, nothing happened, that's it. If you want to start over, start over. That's not it at all. We have a 6 month subscription. You can continue with all the services. One of the things I will say, though, and this is really important, is any adoption, whether it's through a traditional agency or wherever you go, it is a partnership. Meaning that your agency, your consultant, your attorney, they have a part they do, but they can't be successful without you doing your part. So you have to go into every adoption knowing that it's not just sign a contract, write a check, and wait for the baby to drop into my lap. There are steps you have to do. So with Adoption for Life, like I said, in any adoption, there are steps you need to do. In order to be successful. But I think sometimes families think, oh, well, that's just maybe because this program is more affordable. And no, that's not the case. It's a more affordable program, but you still have to do steps. If you are in Lifetime's Bronze program, guess what? You still have to do most of the same steps. Adoption is always a partnership with a professional and with the family, really putting equal effort toward success.
And just to add a little clarification, the 6 month option that Heather mentioned is an extension to the 24. It's not a standalone, is that correct? It's not a
Yes.
standalone option.
Yes,
Okay.
no,
Yeah.
no, that is
Okay.
correct.
It's a backup plan so that you have a safety net and know what happens next, hypothetically, if nothing panned out in 24 months.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. Will Adoption for Life help direct us to the more, quote unquote, adoption-friendly states?
Yeah, if that's a question you have, that's something I definitely would we do have a list for you, but I also would talk to your coordinator about that because you need to find out if you're in an adoption-friendly state to begin with. Some families in some states, let me give you an example. If you live in Colorado, Colorado is not necessarily an adoption-friendly state. So it might behoove you to do some of your outreach in a very adoption-friendly state, such as California or Florida. And by adoption friendly, that can have to do with there's a lot of different ways to evaluate kind of what that means for you. Are you looking for a very short period of time for a birth mother to change her mind after she signed? Are you looking for a state that allows you to finalize in? Colorado, that's the example I was thinking. Colorado can be very expensive to finalize an adoption. So a state like California or Florida, it allows non-residents to finalize, so you could do everything there. It's much more affordable. Are you looking for a state that allows you to help with birth mother expenses? Some states, like Pennsylvania, don't allow that. So, it's good to know what your state is. Is it good? Is it bad? And then maybe what you need to look for to help direct your marketing. And that's also one of the beauties of Adoption for Life is you can restrict your outreach however you want. You can, if you don't want to travel cross country and may not have, say, the budget to travel at the spur of the moment and stay in a strange state for 2 to 3 weeks waiting for everything to be done, you don't have to do that. Look for situations, do your networking, your advertising. Do that in states close to you. That is a choice you have with this program that you don't have when you go to a nationwide program. For instance, in Lifetime's Bronze program, you don't have the ability to say, you know what, we only want to look in our state and neighboring states. That's not an option. So, that is one of the great benefits of Adoption for Life is you really can target not just who you want, but where you want it.
And it may not even have to do with how adoption friendly it is. It might have to do with what states you know people in.
Right.
So that when you get there, you can stay with friends or family. So you're cutting down the cost. And your coordinator, when you have your personal phone conference, which is your next step, as you know, she will talk with you about the budget details, which are listed below on the webpage. She'll talk with you about the leeway and control you have over your budget and answer more questions for you, specifically for what you might be wondering about. Let's see. We found a local program with a similar adoption budget. Why should we choose consultation instead?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of a hard question to answer when you kind of don't know what you're comparing to, but I would say you need to look at more than just the cost. The question is a local program. So I think kind of the direction I would encourage in answering this question is, does it only work locally? Let me give you an example. Sometimes a local agency may only work in a local geographic area. So if they work, just in your city and maybe a 100-mile radius, you're counting on somebody within that 100-mile radius to being pregnant if you're looking for a small child and choosing adoption. That's not a very big opportunity. And again, if it's a traditional agency, you may be relying on them to find someone in a 100-mile radius who also picks you. So good questions for local agencies when you're comparing them is how many adoptions do you do a year where you find a birth mother? Good to also ask, can we do our own networking and do you show us how to do that? And then also, how many families do you have waiting? Because if they do, three adoptions a year and have three waiting families, that may be a good opportunity for you. But if they do three adoptions a year and have 12 waiting families, average that out, you're looking at 4 years. So it's just good to know what you're getting and really to compare services. That's really important.
Yes. So We've covered the majority of questions that are very common, and there are some other things that are more like feelings, observations, wondering if adoption for life could meet their needs. So here's one that maybe we can talk about. We feel strange placing ads for a birth mom,
Sure.
advertising. We feel weird about that.
Sure, I get that. And one of the things Adoption for Life shows you how to do is not necessarily place ads. Hey, they're ads because it's paid putting you in front of someone. But maybe you're not comfortable with Google Ads, but you might be comfortable with something a little more in context. And we show you how to do that. And that's actually the way that most families are finding, or how most birth moms are finding families. So it's, again, it's not these ads that, hey, we're adopting, come look at us. It's not like that. It's a little more subtle, and we can even show you how to gear it toward target market that is exactly who you're looking for.
Which is really cool, and the online learning module about outreach shares more specific details, so that's part of what you're getting in Adoption for Life. But I think, it may feel strange thinking of yourself advertising, but I tell you, the way we go about it, the way we show you to do it, it's not going to seem like an ad to her when she
No,
sees it.
not at all.
Yeah. So here we go. Here's the next one. We are very private and are wary of being online.
I understand that. And there's some people who, we've helped people who work for the FBI. We've helped people who are
High profile,
high
well-known
profile.
names.
Yeah. And they have the same issues. Adoption for Life shows you how to do it if you don't want to be online. We have more traditional networking methods that we really show you how to identify your contacts, and then how to get with them and grow those contacts. So if you're more comfortable doing networking for adoption in a more traditional way, we give you all of that information as well. In fact, I just heard this morning, just about a family who they connected with their birth mom because she picked up something in an office she was in. Very traditional, kind of old school adoption style networking, but that still works today. So
Yes, and sometimes when people are worried about their privacy, what they might be also, be thinking of is, well, is everyone going to know our last name? Are they going to have our phone number and address? We are not advocating at all that you put that information online. We have a way that it's set up with your security in mind as far as what you're sharing in your profile. We look at it through the lens, not just of what a birth mom is going to see, but also for your security. So you can
Definitely.
talk with us more as you develop your profile and choose the outreach methods, about which ones are going to be comfortable for you.
Yes. Yeah, because that is privacy is definitely a concern, and we also talk about security and Adoption for Life, keeping those things safe and keeping, what you want to keep private, private. So definitely we're sensitive to that and understand that.
Likewise, if people are already parenting, how much about my children do I have to share? Well, we'll help you really just do it in a way that's not compromising anyone's safety at all.
Right.
Next one. We are new to adoption and are not sure if Adoption for Life is for us. We're so new to everything.
Well, and that's one of the things about adoption is it is a learning curve for everyone. Most people come to adoption, they're not familiar with it. I mean, let's face it, it's not something you've usually done before the first time you do it. So, that's one of the things that as you're learning, you may want to research other options. You may want to look at, for instance, if Adoption for Life is kind of in your budget, you may want to look at other opportunities that may be in your budget. Maybe foster adoption, adopting a waiting child, is fits in your budget also. Then you kind of want to look at those two things and evaluate which is the better fit. Maybe which has the child or has the opportunity to adopt the child that you're looking for. If you're looking at Adoption for Life because you're very specific on the type of child or the area geographically you want to adopt from, look at other opportunities that do that and really compare them. But you know, I think the biggest thing in learning is doing what you're doing right now, taking every opportunity to learn more about adoption so that you can really decide if adoption's right for you. And that's a great question to ask your coordinator. You know, why are we qualified for adoption for life? And do you think it's a good fit for us? That's, you know, that's a great thing. Let me give you an example of why someone would not be a good fit for adoption for life. Families who want a closed adoption, who don't want any contact with a birth mother. You know what? They're not going to be a good fit in adoption for life, because what we're talking about here is a private adoption where there is some contact. Families who want a closed adoption, we usually refer them to international adoption. Those are adoption of waiting orphaned children, and there's no opportunity for contact. Adoptions here in the U.S. today, unless they're foster adoptions, they primarily are open or semi-open. So, you know, it has to do with not only what you're looking for, but also qualities about you that are going to determine if this is a good fit.
Mm-hmm. And just as another topic to research, open adoption, if that's kind of a question mark for you and you feel really apprehensive because you're not sure what it is and what it's mm-hmm. not, we have audio programs, we have resources.
Yes.
Just ask your coordinator to send you open adoption information, mm-hmm. and I think that'll really help you feel a lot better about the whole thing.
Yes.
Just kind of knowing what it is, what it's not, and the things that just aren't really reality. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of myths about open adoption. That's a whole other webinar. That's
yeah.
a whole other five webinars.
Yeah.
And let's see, so we both work full-time and or we have children. We don't feel like we have the time for this type of program, and I'm just thinking, in order to follow the steps for Adoption for Life, you can be doing this while you're waiting at soccer practice.
Oh, yeah.
You can definitely be doing this while you're waiting for school pickups. You can be doing this on your lunch break or in the evenings after the children are in bed and you're normally watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. These are the hours that you can multitask or allocate to your adoption. It's not really taking you out of your normal schedule at all, because most people have built-in time where they can be doing these kinds of things, like checking
right.
Messages and writing to birth moms and things.
And really, that's what it is, Kim, is it is finding the time you may be spending on something else right now. Like I said a little earlier, every adoption requires effort and input from the adoptive parents. To say Adoption for Life isn't for me because I don't have time, well, are you going to have time to do the, you know, inch of paperwork that's required in your home study? Oh, yes, we'll have time for that. Well, then you have time for this, too. One of Marty's secrets to adoption success when she was adopting was she worked on her adoption an hour a day. Now, that hour a day wasn't necessarily sit down at a desk and take out my files and work on it. It may have been an hour a day while she was taking a lunch break. It may have been an hour a day that instead of reading a novel, she was working on her adoption. And the nice thing is, once you get to a part where you've gotten most everything done, that hour a day can be spent, like you said, responding to birth moms, interacting with them. It can be spent maybe reading a book about parenting an adopted child, because it's different. Even if you adopt a child as a newborn, it's different. You have to have a little different understanding and conversation with that child from day one about, you know, you didn't grow in my tummy, you grew in my heart, so that you're prepared to share that story while the child mm-hmm. grows. So it's not saying Adoption for Life isn't for us because we don't have time isn't really an honest reason, because it doesn't take any more time than every adoptive family should spend on their adoption. You know, we tell
that's very true.
Every family, mm-hmm. even in our bronze and silver programs, we tell them you need to be spending an hour a day. Maybe it's making your profile better. Maybe it's listening to webinars, reading books, preparing. An hour a day is what you need to be, you know, putting toward your success. You know, there was an old story about how much practice time Michael Jordan put in to become, one of the greatest basketball players ever. And it's like, yes, he was talented, but he still put time in. It's the same with adoption or any endeavor that you're trying to succeed at. And I know Marty likes to say, building your family is like building your home. If you were building a house, you wouldn't just write a check to somebody, give it to them, and say, build me a house. You would be involved. You would want to, pick the design, pick how it looks, paint colors, carpet, your kitchen surfaces. Those are things you would spend time selecting. You would spend time going to different showrooms, looking at the sinks, looking at those things. Adoption's the same way. You need to spend the time to make sure this is your family you're building, and this is the most important thing you will ever build. So take the opportunity to spend the time and build it in a way that is not only going to be safe and secure for you, but also is going to be a foundation that you will have and will be strong for the rest of your days.
And if you find yourself running from the moment you get up to the moment at the end of the day when your head hits the pillow and you're just running all day and there is no way to fit anything else into your life, I would question how long you can really, whether or not you're adopting, how long you can sustain that pace of life. And maybe there are some things to evaluate whether or not those really are priorities and something worthy of your time.
And
Adoption is totally worthy of your time.
yes. And Kim, one of the things I like to ask in there too when families say, well, I'm just too busy. Well, do you have enough time in your day for a new child? Because children, they can't fit into an hour between 3 and 4. That's a whole new undertaking. And sometimes I have families say, oh yes, I'll make time for that. Then perhaps you also need to make time for the journey to find your child.
Makes this the transition phase where you are
Exactly.
readjusting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Heather, I know that we also offer additional services if adoptive parents would like for us to talk directly with birth moms. Can you share a little bit more about that? And we're almost finished with the webinar. Thank you all for hanging in there with us. I know we've covered so much ground. This is definitely something that if an adoptive parent feels a little more apprehensive about speaking directly to birth moms, what can we do to help them?
Well, what we do is we provide you with all of the things, because that's many people come into this process saying, well, I don't know what to say. But no matter where you are, whether you're with other organizations or not, you're going to have a time where you talk to a birth mother for the first time. So what we do is we provide you with a whole list of things you can talk about. We provide you with what she's feeling as well. So that as you go into that, and usually the way we do, we really encourage you to use a method that kind of has email or messaging as the first point of contact, because that you can slow down. But if she does call out of the blue, you're prepared because you kind of know what to say. Now with our staff here, with our additional screening, what we do is, as you've gathered the information, we go ahead and evaluate that option, and then we'll give you some more information to ask her, to talk to her. But you're not alone. Remember, by the time she calls you, she's learned a little more about you. She's seen more about you. And if you are contacted by someone who, maybe you look her up on Facebook before you call her or talk to her, and you're like, yeah, no, this isn't one for us. Again, that's when you can just pass over to us. We will call her on your behalf. We will call her and gently let her down. But that's really what we want to be there for you to be help and support, to kind of teach you in the beginning how a private adoption works, how it is. Often what families often tell us, Kim, is that the first time I talked to her, I felt like this was an old friend, because you're coming together for the right reasons. If it feels awkward, if you feel like you're potentially getting scammed, you just let us know and we'll go ahead and take that over. But by and large, what we hear from families, they're all scared before they've talked to the first one. And then it's like, oh, I can't believe I was scared about this. It was so easy. Again, it can be awkward. Think of it like a first date. That's the best way to think of it. Not a first date, a blind date. A blind date. You know a little bit about someone, but you may not know enough to, start talking politics and religion. But you get to know each other a little bit more. So that's kind of the best way to think about it, knowing that we're always here. If you have someone you can pick up the phone and call your coordinator and say, you know what? We just had someone call us and this is what she said, and we don't have a clue what to answer. Your coordinator will help you with that. And like I say, and we're here right behind you to screen those opportunities after you've gathered a little more information, or to actually be involved and let down easy the ones that aren't are you don't believe are a good match for you.
So we've covered many concerns and questions, and I just want to let all of you know that you have been pre-approved for adoption for life after a careful review. We receive hundreds of applications from adoptive parents on a monthly basis, and there is no way we can offer to assist each and every one of them. And many times we are not offering to explore further with families that will be able to adopt successfully, but we just don't think we have a program that would be a good fit for them based on what they've shared in their application, what they've shared their needs are. So if you are here today listening to this, you have passed through that screening process and we want to explore further, and that's your next step, is to schedule the phone conference with your coordinator. If you're not sure who that is, go ahead and just give us a call, 1-800-923-6784, or you can email adopt@lifetimeadoption.com and we can point you in the right direction to get connected with your coordinator and schedule that phone conference so we can continue exploring with you.